I didn't put out any scripture to be put in the bulletin. For today, I did want to mention three verses of scripture. And they come, two of them come from Ephesians, one of them out of Matthew. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 speaks to when Paul had to tell the church of Ephesus that God has supplied you with some talents or something to do, to go out and help people, to help the needy, to do something. Search hard and long and find your talents and then do them because, you know, those talents can be taken away. Then also, actually I got them backwards, that was Ephesians 4:7. The Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 tells of if you go out and do those talents and you work in a community and you do for people, remember, they got bad about praising themselves for what they do and lifting themselves up. He said, you got to remember what we're doing is unto the Lord. We're not doing it unto ourselves. And so he says, please always work unto the Lord and don't worry about building yourself up. Then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, where Jesus tells us to not be judges. If we judge, then we can be judged by the same thing that, well, the way we use or the caliber that we judge people, we can be judged our own selves. But let people and their situations and whatever, like I say, just help them and go about what we are set upon to do and not worry about things. I want to throw out, you know, the Baptist Men's Organization in Surrey County here, we have 66 churches. We meet first Monday night of every month, and I usually have around 12 churches represented. We have 20, 21, 22 people show up, and we have a time of fellowship, we have a time of a meal, a devotion, and then we discuss all the needs that we know of around that have been turned in, and then who's going to band together and join up and do those needs. It's one of those positions where, like I said, I avoided it like a plague for years, but now I'm in charge of all of it, and I have to try to build and keep these men all on task and serving and doing. And so I would hope, like I say, I told them this morning that our church is one of the biggest sponsors of the Baptist men and helps to do everything we do. It's going to be a scrolling thing of pictures here that while me and Michael speak that shows all the different kinds of projects that we've done this year, no matter where they're at, and you'll hear Michael explain the one he went on. I want to throw a thanks out to the ones I've had all kinds of first-timers go this year. Miss Hamilton went. Bill Norman got to go. Of course, Michael went with us. I've taken my son and a couple of employees that wanted to go. But whether it was disaster relief going to Bergall Lumberton or Rock Isle, or if it was here in this county doing ramps or repairs or rebuilds or tornado relief, I'm just always blessed to see, like I say, the people come and take part, because there is something for everybody to do. And I will explain the pictures, kind of some of them, when I get back up here. I'm going to let, Ralph Hyatt was going to speak. He's been with me several times. And he got called to school in Alabama today. So it's left up to me and Michael to speak. Michael got to go on his first trip this year and has promised to go whenever I can call him. You know, I'm going to let him come up and speak toward his trip to Bergall and let him, and then I'll come back.
It's a great privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for having me, and I'm happy to be talking in the Church of God. My scripture I picked out for this, this comes from James chapter 2, it's verse 26. It says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And you know, I'm going to let Mike really talk. I'll touch on the mission that we went and did and helped in Bergall, but I want to talk about a man that he went out on faith and he was working in a different way, not necessarily construction, but he had his own talent and he was using it, and it saved my life. God used him to save my life. This happened about, I was 26 going on 27, about 3 years ago. For most of you who don't know, I lived in Tampa, Florida for about six years, something like that, chasing my dream, not really chasing after God. But you know, I lived in a world of sin for a long time, and luckily I was brought up in church, and I had all kinds of seeds planted. And my mom, she's a saint. She planted so many seeds, and a lot of people here, a lot of good men, a lot of good women, followers of Christ, true followers of Christ, planted a lot of good seeds. And God used this man one day in Tampa, Florida, to call me out. I was a hellion, okay? But I was a good person, right? Because I had good intentions, and I never wanted to hurt anybody, abuse anybody, do the wrong thing. But I was not following God, and I was living in sin, and I'm still a sinner. So I was searching for God. Like, I knew I was walking, and I didn't know what was going on in my life, and I was kind of depressed in the funk and all these things. And one day I had this thing going on for a couple of months, and where I'd get up early one day and I would go somewhere alone just to pray. Didn't have a Bible at the time. And I was given a devotional book back in high school from a Young Life leader, another seed. And I would spend time in it and spend time with God, and that was my thing. One night I stayed up too late doing things I shouldn't have been doing, and I missed my Sunday morning opportunity to go spend with God. And you know, I just felt lost. I was like, what is this? And so I took off driving one day and had nowhere to go, nowhere to be, and I was in my truck, had the windows rolled down, not just driving real slow through downtown Tampa, and it had been 10, 15 minutes, and I was praying to God. I was just praying for Him, for a sign, for my soul. And a man, all of a sudden I hear a voice out of the left side of the truck on the other side of the road from where I was at, and he was like, "Hey boy, Jesus loves you." And I just, you know, I looked, and there he was standing. He was pointing right at me. He said, "Hey boy, Jesus loves you." And oh my gosh, yeah, I knew then, and God's embrace, and He's never let go since. But I just knew then, and I had to catch up to the man, right? I stayed there, I bawled for a little while, and just was so thankful and had so much gratitude. And I turned around and found the man, and I got out of the truck, and I went up and embraced him. And he told me some scripture that he did every morning, and just what that did for me, and how God works through people, and the different works that we can walk in. And as long as you keep focus on Him and seek Him first, everything's going to be okay, right? I mean, everything for His glory. You know, we went to this, you know, the reason why I went to this trip, you know, I've been praying about, you know, I've been saved, like I was saved. I was called out of sin. And I got in the Bible. I was praying, and I just wanted. I was changed. I started hating my sin. I hate my sin. And I still hate my sin, but I wanted to spend more time with godly men. I wanted to spend more time with Christian men, and that's one of the biggest reasons why I went. And it was, you know, out of the mouth reveals what the heart, you know, what's in here. And you spend any time with Mike, and not to praise Mike, but to praise God for Mike. You spend some time with Mike, he talks about work, and he talks about God, and he talks about his kid, you know. And it was a wonderful thing. It's just a wonderful thing to experience, and if you get the chance to experience that, go. God's will be done all the time. And seek him, get on your knees, seek him, get in the Bible, seek him. Youth, get in the Bible. Please get in the Bible. You don't understand it, pray about it. Go to some of the older people in this church and let them guide you through it. And older people that have been working with the Lord for a while, I would encourage you to find a young person or find even a fellow of your own age to hold on to and to encourage each other and to pray with each other, to lift each other up and revel in God's glory. But yeah, this trip that we took to Bergall, it was spectacular. We worked, how long, we were there for 4 or 5 days, I think. We worked probably from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., something like that, every day, maybe a little later. And in between our breaks, this man and wife that we were working for, they would come out, they would feed us, they would give us cookies. They were so happy and so joyful that we were there, even amidst the, you know, the tragedy that they had been experiencing for the year. You know, they witnessed to us, you know, just the joy that they had in God, no matter what was going on in their life. And then for us to be there working with them and them to witness to us that way, it was incredible. And God answers prayers, let me tell you. He really answers prayers. You know, this is an answered prayer for me. I went to Colorado last summer and was able to serve and work at a Christian Dude Ranch. It was incredible. But ever since then, and I was able to spend time with other Christian folks then and really spend a lot of time in Bible and prayer and God's just making clear his path and his will for me, and he will do the same for everyone if they will just get on their knees and believe what he says. But I've been praying to speak at church for a long time, and this is 10 months, 8 months in the making, something like that, and it's incredible. But thank you, guys.
It was a blessing to get to work with Michael, and then, like I say, what he's telling you, the family we worked for were really, really, they are actually, the lady is one of the head ladies with the North Carolina Baptist Association, or the North Carolina Baptist in Raleigh, and when the hurricane hit, she actually went out on site and doing jobs for other people, and her home had got like to the tail end that she wasn't even gonna get her home done for a year. And Mitch Calloway had asked, would I get some people together and let us go and move her house up the list a little and take care of it? And so we were pretty blessed to get to go do that. I wanna tell you a thing or two about some of those pictures up there. And I told them early service there, my wife, when I come back from Katrina and Gulfport and New Orleans and all that stuff, and I always brought pictures, and then Renee would say, how many pictures of tree rubble and rebuild can you bring back? And they all look the same to me. And I said, I'm sorry, but each one of those pictures has some meaning to me, and I was there. So I want that. And like I say, I told Danny, scroll it 3 or 4 times, just so that some of the images will stick in your mind, and you might know when I say something about this. But those pictures up there, of course, are of Hurricane, where we went down and redone homes. The most of those homes had 4 to 6 foot of water in them, and you'll see we gutted them completely. And the North Carolina Baptist men are paying to have those homes redone because those people didn't have insurance that would cover it, so they had no home if we didn't do it. So, and when it comes to tearing up a home, I believe there's a lot of people that can be destructive and tear up homes, and so it's nothing hard about it. There's something for everyone. There's also, of course, you see some that are hurricanes for tree removal and stuff out of homes. That's the Bergall trip there where we vinyled his house and recovered it and separated. They've had their home flooded twice and decided they're only going to live in half of it, so we cut it in half and only redone part of it. So there's a picture in there that you've been seeing about that baby grand piano thing up on blocks. Well, every time a hurricane came through, and they'd already done it three times, they get neighbors to come over and raise that piano when it's a hurricane and put it on blocks so they can save it. It's a family heirloom. And they had done that for time and time again. Well, little did they know, the water level had been getting up, and it had actually rotted the legs. And this last storm, the water got in the piano, and it collapsed into the water, and they lost it. And so the picture is all she has left of her family piano. There are, of course, like I say, a lot of ramps there that speak to whether the issues are just can't get around. We were able to build a ramp for a lady. She was a rather large lady that could not get out of her home no more without the need of a ramp, but couldn't afford it. And I got a double story on this, but when we went to do that ramp, took three different churches to do it, and worked on a Saturday. But I have a new gentleman in the Baptist men this year, and he's from Shoals Baptist Church, and he came to my first meeting and came and sat down up front there, right up front, and took part in the devotion and the meals, and he would speak and all. But after 6 months, he come up to me and says, "Mike, I want to take part in one of them ramps. I want to do something." Well, my first thought was, blind man. Well, yeah, come on, you know, because like I said, we need people to speak. We need people to talk and do something. I said, "Yeah, come on, we're doing one Saturday morning, be there." So Mr. Pearson said, "Yeah, I'll have him there." And so we show up at a ramp over in Ararat and get everything laid out, get everything started, feel height, and all of a sudden, we're out here putting stuff together. And that guy, I figured he was going to watch or talk to the homeowner and do something. Instead, he comes right over to the saw and slid in right next to me. He said, "Let's cut some lumber." And I'm like, blind man, okay. I turn around and I said, "Okay, feel what size we need." And so he tells me, and I lay the board on the saw, and this gentleman pulls in his pocket and pulls out. He has a talking tape measure. He said, "Now watch this." And he hooked it, and he pulls across the board and right to the saw. And then I heard it talking to him as he was doing it, and it tell every increment. And when he got to the spot, he says, "Cut it right there, son." And he put a mark on it. I said, "Okay, so we do this." And then it's really interesting. And I told him it was after three cuts, he turns around to me, and he says, "Son, I think you need a new blade." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's pretty bad." I said, "You know, everybody cuts with this." But he had the ear of a carpenter and knew that I had a dull blade. But this gentleman has helped us build two ramps, and he's takes part and just wants to do something for the Lord. And it really, I don't know, it really gets to you when you start trying to think about who can help. And when we make excuses why we can't help. In one of our wood splitting events, there's a gentleman out of Holly Springs, and his name's Bill Cook, and he's 92, and he still helps split wood. He runs the splitters for us, but he wants to be a part of what Baptist men do in this county. And very, very feeble man, but he's there whenever we ask. So I just I guess I throw that out because a lot of the people we go to, it's like I told them. Whenever I go to these job sites especially, these people come out of their house and they're ready to talk. They're ready to share their story. They're ready to vent on somebody. And if you can share the Lord with them, and then the first question most time they have for us, that couple right there in that picture, they're about an 88-year-old couple that come out and they just drove from Raleigh to where we were and wanted to help somebody. And so they asked me, I said, "Can you take them and keep them safe?" And I said, "Well, I'll try." And we were tearing floors out. And so we done had all the floors tore out of that house. And I said, "Look, wait, we'll put you some plywood down and y'all go pull them nails." Next thing I know, that old lady has a crowbar and stepping across 2-foot joists, and she's in there jerking out nails and screws. I said, "Wait on me." And her husband turned around. "She ain't waiting on nobody." And I said, so we put the wood down for her, and they helped us all day to do that. But when the tornadoes went through Yadkinville, and you see pictures there of trees down, we got a call, me and Gary, to go help and cut some trees for them and help with the Baptist men. And when we got down there, you never know what you're going to run into, but we got to a job site, and when we get out of the truck and I start getting my gear on, and then I get my saw out, and I don't get the first pull on it, and this lady comes out of her house and runs over her and just hugs me around the neck, and then starts, she says, "I want to pray with y'all." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, that's fine, that's fine." And we story was, we had this tree, the big, huge trees there. Her husband had hung himself in that tree 2 months ago. And she had prayed and prayed that she couldn't keep that memory in her, just to see it every day she walked out. So she said the storm answered her prayers. That tree was down. And she come out there and thanked us that we were God's angels that was going to haul it away. And she had another death in her family that she was dealing with at the moment with a son-in-law. But this lady, we cut it all up, got it off her lot, and she come back. And like I said, she prayed with us 3 times over us being there to help her. And like I said, we never know what people are going through, what type of things they have. Like I said, a lot of these sites down here where people have lost everything they own and can't do a thing. So they, you know, they're drawing straws, just grasping at straws, trying to decide how they're going to do it. But when a group of Baptist men show up free of labor, they can't explain it, but through the love of God, we will clean their house, Clorox their house, rebuild them, and put them back in it, and no charge to them. It's a great blessing that we can do, and then, like I say, we do through this church. We fund a lot of it, too, and get to help. I wanted to tell about, I got to take a group of college kids from Antioch to Lumberton to do a man's house. And the kids, I took 4 girls, 4 guys, and 2 of us adults. And we got down there, and this gentleman's house had been flooded twice. He lost everything. And we got there to the gut hull of a house that had been sheetrocked. And so these kids are like, "What can we do? What can we do? What can you teach us?" And I said, "Well, we only have 4 days, but here it is." And I said, "Don't miss the opportunity to talk to this man while we're here." And so they done just that. In pairs, they got to let him tell his story. They told him what they done and how they worked through the Lord and stuff. But he told them how his house was flooded, and when he got back this time, it was plumb full of fish, and he had to get them all out. And then, like I say, it's a total rebuild. But I had girls shooting air nailers. We put up all his doors, all of his windows, all of his baseboard, all of his cabinets, and bathrooms in 4 days. And these kids, as I was telling you, it's almost dangerous when you got 4 air nailers with college kids shooting in a building, and you go in there and just hoping they're going in the wood. But they made the most noise, and we're amazed at what they were able to do to teach them how to run the coping saws and different stuff. But like I say, there is nothing in this stuff that we do that can't be trained or taught. And then, like I say, we always need people that talk to these people. So, you know, there's a little bit of everything going on. Presently at the moment in Surrey County, we have 12 ramps, 1 roof, and 2 porches that need to be built. And we will be lining those up here this fall. Of course, you know of our wood ministry. A lot of you have helped with that. We do that September through March. And try to meet first Saturday of every month. And that pile you see on that one picture, that is 7 churches on one day put that pile there. Now, believe it or not, that pile was gone in 2 weeks. So, you know, there is a lot of need for that, for the people that cannot afford their fuel oils or whatever and heat with wood. There's actually a 92-year-old lady that goes and picks her own wood up and won't let us bring it to her because she says that the service we're doing is enough to put it right there. Won't allow us to bring it to her. So we have all kinds of things that we get to do and like I say, and meet with people, but no matter where we're at, what we're doing, the blessing is always ours. And, you know, so I hope that you can take time and look into it and find what you think you can do. And as I segue into this, as we close, this fall, this church is going to do, Alex is going to do a month-long series on service. Now, at the end of that, we're going to cap it off on a Sunday, which will be a service day. There's 12 projects lined up, I believe, right now. Everything from Brent Hull will be running a wood cutting that day, wood splitting. I'll be doing a ramp. There'll be cookies baked and delivered, people going and singing. There'll be quilts made. There's going to be things going on for everybody in this building. And so I hope as you hear this announced, and what we'll do, we're going to work the morning of Sunday, that Sunday, and then the evening we're going to have a celebration and meal and tell about how our day went. So listen for that, make plans for it, because there's nothing greater than when we all get together and like I say, go out and share God's love, no matter how it is, whether it is building the ramps or it's helping people or doing for people. Let's all just look for where God needs us. And I promise you, you will find something. If, like where Paul had to tell the ones at Ephesus, you know, they all thought they didn't know nothing and couldn't do nothing. There's something there for each and every one of us. And so we just have to find our little niche and take hope. And I thank you for giving us the day to show, like I say, what we do. I appreciate your support for what y'all do for us, like I say, in funds. And then just if you'll listen, you'll hear of next projects coming up. And any of you men that are interested in coming, I'm not the only one that has to go to that meeting. We have a church or two that bring two and three. So you're welcome to come and hear and listen and take part in that. If you're interested, I'll get you on a call list for it. So thank you. Would you bow with me, please? Thank you, most gracious Heavenly Father, for this day we've had to come to your house and worship. Thank you for all the ones, men and women, that helped to serve and the ones serving this church. Please be with our mission team as they are down in Belize. Watch over and care for them. And then be with us until we safely get to return here again next week. Thank you for all you do in our lives. And just be with us and help us and guide us to where you would have us to go. Thank you. And we lift it up in Christ's name. Amen.